Blog Talk Radio.
I keep feeling this presence. thank you, Jesus, that I can call you at any time, day or night. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We come before you, dear Father, with just so much thanksgiving in our heart. And just let us praise you for a moment, dear Father. As I open my heart, out of the abundance of my heart, as my mouth speaketh, it speaketh of praise. Hallelujah. I just want to worship you right now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We thank you, dear Father, for your love. Thank you for your insight. And we thank you, God, for most importantly, the giving of yourself, that you loved us enough, that you come of yourself in your own way. Three persons, one God. And you stepped out into heaven in the form of man. Hallelujah. And you gave us your best. Your Son, Jesus Christ. And he gave what no one could take. He come to give his life all for us, Jesus. And I thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, I tremble just the thought of your love for us, Jesus. That you came, you sent, and he gave for us to be reunited with you. That we can't disturb your plan. That we still have a place for us. And where that he has been received back into you, sitting on the right hand of you, waiting patiently as each and every one of us return unto you. He said, I go in to prepare a place for you, and where that I am, that you may be also. I thank you, Jesus, that I have somewhere to go, that this is not our home. And as we come during this Holy Week, we'll just do it in remembrance, as our daily remembrance. And may it just not be a certain week or certain season, but may we grow into a place where we can just worship you daily, yearly. And we praise you, God. May I decrease, and dear Father, we invite you to increase in our life, increase in our hearing right now, increase in our hearts as we receive your word. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, amen. Our scripture comes tonight from Mark 15, Mark, New Testament 15, verse 1. Let's read, shall we? Very early in the morning, the chief priests with the elders, the teachers of the law, and the whole Sanhedrin reached a decision. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Are you the king of the Jews? Asked Pilate. Yes, it is as you say, Jesus replied. The chief priests accused him of many things. So again, Pilate asked him, aren't you going to answer? See how many things they are accusing you of? But Jesus still made no reply, and Pilate was amazed. Now it was the custom at the feast to release a prisoner whom the people requested. A man named Barabbas was in prison with others who had committed murder in the uprising. The crowd came up and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews? Asked Pilate, knowing it was out of envy that the chief priest had handed Jesus over to him. But the chief priest stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas instead. What shall I do then with the one you call the king of the Jews? Pilate asked. The people shouted, crucify him. Pilate asked why. What crime has he committed? But they shouted all the louder, crucify him. Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. Thank you, Jesus, for the reader and the hearers of your word. And we ask you to push special blessings on all of the doers of your word. As you and our sisters and brothers have many things that are been said about us, you've been accused of many things. Hallelujah. Even the doctors may accuse your body of performing many things that is against you. We can't even believe in those things. We have to still keep our eye and believe on God. Not to say that the things is not going, doing what in our bodies what they say it is, but we can't get hung up on that. That cannot be our stumbling block. When people are shouting against you right now and on your job, they're lying and they're putting things against you. And someone has given them the opportunity to come forth and tell the truth or be truthful about the situation that's going on in your neighborhood, in your family right now. But someone is still shouting against you and they want you crucified. Just know that you're not the first and you will not be the last. But we have an example that is set before us. And nothing that we can experience can be worse than what it was that he had experienced. Jesus' life was characterized by goodness. He poured his life out to people, blessing them both spiritually and physically. And when he healed the sick, he always took care of the spiritual problems first. And that is the prayers that we pray here at Tri-Anointed Ministries. We believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We pray that as we pray over the healing of your physical body, that you allow. It's not that he will do, because he said he's already given it to you, but you will allow yourself to partake and receive the healing of your spiritual mind, of your spiritual body, so the spiritual problems can be healed first. If someone was hungry, Jesus fed them. When he saw someone thirsty, he gave them something to drink. Jesus went about doing good all, to all, for all, and he was killed for it. He was beaten unmercifully. The crowd he had fed cried, "Crucify him." The crowd which he had healed cried, "Crucify him." He had been in those same cities, same towns, healing, feeding. Some of those same ones shouted, "Crucify him." The 12 men he carefully kept forsook him. From the position of the flesh, Jesus was in total disarray. But it was total disarray as far as the position just of his flesh, the look of his flesh. His staff was gone. There was no more meetings. The people were gone, and above all this, God was gone. The darkest hour for Jesus was not at Gethsemane, but the darkest hour was when he hung between heaven and hell. And he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In between each one of those, let's say it again, my God, he was taken up on your sins. My God, the one who was sinless now was being our sins, my sins, your sins, was being poured upon him, which separated him from their God, from his Father. Sin separates us. And he felt like so alone because that's the first time he had been out of the presence of his Father. Oh, he said, why hast thou forsaken me? The sins of the world was what was doing the separation. Yet at this tragic time, Jesus continued to impact lives. Even in his death, Jesus displayed life-changing characteristics to those around him. Mark 15 records the crucifixion. I beg of you, make this the night that you just start? Let's not just hear about Easter, resurrection, but let's get a total understanding of what's going on here. Read through. Just start with Mark 15. Read through Mark 15. Pray, God, show me a new understanding of the resurrection. And then I want you also to remember that the word resurrection, let's not just go around repeating Happy Resurrection Day, I believe in the resurrection. But resurrection, if you're speaking it, you should be living a resurrected life. Resurrection means something was it was down, something was dead, something was destroyed, and that God has given it new life. It has been lifted up. It has been changed. It has been reborn. It's rebirth. You should be living a resurrected life. You said, I was, and I did, but now I am, according to the scriptures, a new creature in Christ. And old things have passed away. Are you resurrected? Hallelujah. Are you resurrected? In the passage of Mark 15, we see the thieves hanging on either side of Jesus. Along with the crowd, they persecuted him. And they mocked his power, cursing him as they said, things like, if thou be Christ, it says, save yourself. So it says in the physician Luke, as he wrote to us, Luke 23:39, they didn't want to die, especially so painful a death. See, in crucifixion, all your bones and all your joints are dislocated. The pressure of your chest from the weight of your own body, it just slowly squeezes air out of your lungs until you suffocate during this painful process. Jesus isn't saying, okay, God, burn them all, kill them all. You and I may have said that. I may even be saying that now as we go through our own issues. But no, that's not what he said. Instead, he does what a lamb would do. He does what a lamb would do. A lamb that's being offered up for sacrifice. Remember, he came to give, to save you and I. So even as he hung on the cross, he was still making a major impact in life. He was still displaying life-changing characteristics to all of those that was around. You say, evangelist, and how did he do this? He did this by still not cursing them. But he still recognized that he was given of his life as a sacrifice. This is your host, Evangelist Von Dumas. We're here at Tri-Anointed Ministries in San Antonio, Texas. The call-in number is 646-652-4916. Again, it's 646-652-4916. You can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. Or, of course, feel free to leave a message here on the Blog Talk Radio. I'd be more than happy to help you in any way that I can. I thank you for all your reaching out and your prayer requests. God bless you all. Let's continue, shall we? So now he's still showing us how to live holy in the midst of giving his life, in the midst of being a sacrifice. He understands that he was born to die with a heart of love. It had to be a heart of love. How do you sit there in the midst of all of this and still pray for others? But that's what he did. Jesus prayed beyond human understanding. We can't understand those thoughts. We know in the little pain that we are carried through here on life. We want to curse our brothers when they've done us wrong. But Jesus prayed beyond human understanding, and the thieves heard him. Suddenly, one thief changed his mind. One thief changed his mind. He said to the other thief, Luke 23:40-42 tells us what he says. He says, "Do thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deed." He's saying that what we did, yeah, this is what we deserve. We know that we deserve it. We know we're guilty of what we did. He said, "But this man has done nothing." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." He said, "Lord, remember me. Will you change your mind about who you're serving tonight?" And at that moment, for the first time in the thief's life, he realized who God really was. He realized his whole life had passed him by without him really knowing the truth. But he realized who God really was. He saw God the way God wanted man to see him. He could see a God that he could touch. In the midst of his disloyalty, he believed that Jesus was the king. This thief just saw something that the persecuting crowd, as they wanted to shout against him, crucify him, this thief saw something that they could not see, or they chose not to see. When we think about it, that everyone in that crowd had the opportunity to see exactly what this thief saw. Only one changed their mind. Only one spoke out. Only one. You know, a resurrected life will have you speak out. And it doesn't matter who's around you. It'll just make you stop and say, "Thank you, Jesus." You say, "I don't care if no one else around here wants to praise him." It'll say, "Thank you, Jesus." It'll make you stand up when everybody else is talking about there is no God. It'll make you stand up and say, "My God is alive, and he lives inside of me." A resurrected life. Hallelujah. The thief saw the reality of redemption. He was the first man to understand redemption. Looking at Jesus, he saw blood pouring out of him. Because Jesus was in total agony. For he was nailed to the cross while the thief was only tied to the cross. The religious crowd, the chief priests, all the scribes, they mocked him. In Matthew 27:44, it says that the thieves also, which was crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. In other words, they revived him also. Everyone was against Jesus. He didn't have a friend. They revealed him too. Until the one saw something that the other one still refused to see. But yet Jesus, even through the excruciating pain and his great persecution, Jesus prayed for the crowd, which amazed the thief. He said, "How can this man pray for this terrible crowd, the same crowd that's killing him? They killed him," but instead he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And suddenly the thief sees Jesus redeeming him. Even while he was cursing Jesus, redemption changed this man and his confession. the same thief who mocked Jesus earlier now called him Lord. He rebuked the other thief, and he cried out to Jesus, saying, Lord, remember me when thou art coming into thy kingdom. His selfishness is now gone. He didn't even ask to go into the kingdom only for Jesus to just remember him. When redemption is revealed, selfishness leaves. Look at yourself now. Have you cried out, Lord, remember me? Are you prepared? Are you prepared to enter into the kingdom? You know, if you say, well, I don't have any problems living the way that I'm living now. Because you're traveling on the same pathway that the enemy is. But I dare you, turn around and start going against him. That's when you start facing some problems. That's where you got to lean on him. That's when you got to learn how to really live life. So you've gone so far in the wrong direction. But make a U-turn and try traveling back. I'm not going to tell you that it's going to be a smooth road because no one said it would be. You're fighting against all of the things that you built up in your life all of these years. It was smooth sailing going down. Now you got to work your way back through it. But I can promise you one thing. Throughout it all, you will never be alone. You may feel lonely, but you will never be alone. I can promise you that if you reach out your heart and your hands and you just stay on your face to God crying for direction, that he will lead you. And he will always, 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 he will always bring somebody into your life that will direct you. In the midst of nothing, when no one is around, when you're thinking nothing, that no one else cares and no one loves you, there'll be a knock on the door. Somebody there to just give you hope, to encourage you, to give you a word that will carry you on. He's a leader, and he wants to lead you. He has prepared a place for you, that where he has gone, that you have a right to be there. He's waiting anxiously for you right now to turn from your wicked ways and seek his face. You said, but I'm not ready yet, because I know goodness well I'm getting ready to go do wrong right now. But he said, I want you to come to me just as you are, because no man knows the day, the time, the hour. You don't know what you're going to be doing, when is your number, when is your time. You don't know. Why would you take that chance? You can't get good enough for God. You can't take out enough time to get ready for God. You have to come to him just as you are. And he will do the one. He will clean you up. He will remove those desires out of your heart. I don't care if it's the desire of lust, pornography. I don't care whatever it is. Drinking, drugging, cursing, lying, stealing. He knows the answer. He knows the way to erase those things from your life. Some is instantly. Some he teaches you different lessons and he takes you through steps, because he knows what you need to learn through every step of that way to get to your end of that journey. So don't look at someone else's life and try to condition your life accordingly. But your Creator knows how to get to you. He knows just exactly what you need. He knows what it's going to be that's going to take to get you out of that pit that you've been digging for so many years. Because the enemy did not tell you at the beginning of that road that you was going to be set up right now with everybody turning against you, with everybody laughing at you now, calling you a drunk and an alcoholic, calling you a drug addict, with everybody looking down on you now as you lay in your bed and that disease is eating your body. But when you first started all of this, they called you the man. You got all the women. They called you, you're the woman that every man wants. And now that you've gave yourself and gave of yourself and gave of yourself, and now everyone is looking down on you. But the enemy didn't show you that. He didn't show you your ending from the beginning. But God knows. And he's still right there. And he has his hands wide open waiting on you. Will you reach out? Will you grab hold of his hand right now? Hallelujah. Will you allow him to take all of your sins and cleanse your mind and give you a clean slate? Will you do it? Can you do it? You have the ability, just as that thief did, to see something different right now today, to be in a different light, to see redemption face to face. As God is saying to you, to his Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Hallelujah. Your selfishness will begin to be revealed to you when redemption comes into your life. When I finally saw the reality of redemption, that's when I got saved. I saw what the thief saw. I only realized that why, if I'm not for God, that I'm going against God. If I'm not living for God, I'm cursing God. I can confess and say things out of my mouth, but if I'm not living that life, I'm cursing God. God is still loving you. God was still loving me in the midst of my sins. And I thank God that I came to know just exactly who he is on a deeper level before my time was up. I thank God that I didn't die in my sins. I thank God that I've been washed and I've openly, hallelujah, have stood before and said, baptize me. What is that said? It's just saying, I know I was born into sin, but I want to be washed now, and I want to just confess that I want to be with you. I want to be a part of the kingdom life, kingdom living. Does that mean that I'm not going to make any more mistakes? No. But it means that whatever I am, whatever I do, I'm going to do it knowing that I'm a child of God. Wherever I'm at, I'm going to represent and try to live my life as a child of God. I've been stamped now. And just by me being baptized, it's my stamp. It's my seal for the world to know and can see. I'm living a Christian life. I'm just not going to talk something that I'm not willing to walk. But I'm going to get out here and I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to make a difference every day of my life. Hallelujah. Today is your day. Today is your day to finally see Jesus as the thief saw him. To finally say, God, for God I live and for God I die. To stop using God's name in vain. We so easily just say, well, everybody does it now. It doesn't mean what you think it means, evangelist. It's just what everybody says. That's what everybody says. I'm tired of hearing that. Aren't you tired of being what everybody else is being? Oh, I encourage you right now. Jesus is loving you. Will you give him love back? He's calling your name, and he's making intercession for you right now in the midst of your sin. Jesus has been trying to touch you. Jesus has been trying to touch you and get your attention for years. And you're still ignoring him. You're still taking it for granted. And things all around you happen, and you look at those, and for a moment, you say, I'm going to make a difference in my life. For a moment, you say, well, it could have been me. And for a moment, you say, today is the day that I'm going to change. But then you let your moment fade away, and you take it for granted again. And before you know it, you're not back where you were, but now you're worse. And you take it for granted that you've been going and you've been driving while you've been drinking for years. You said, I've never had an accident, and nothing has ever happened yet. And you take it for granted. But it's all coming to an end. Because the enemy doesn't show you your ending when you first start that thing. But believe me, your ending is a sad ending. Your ending is an ending that you can't get back over that once you're dead. You can't start back over. You don't get another chance. Why are you still saying no? Why are you still saying no? Even you that have confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord, why are you still living that same life that you know that's not of Christ? Why are you still saying no? Jesus is trying to get your attention. You say, because I still want to have fun. And you say, well, I don't even think it's fun to be saved. You say, I look around and I see Christians who look bored. I see Christians who look all beat down, and I just don't want to be like them. Backbiting, fighting, hatred. They got malice in their heart. They feel their life is just all messed up. I just don't want to be like that. I don't want any part of that. Yes, it is. There's a lot of people who are bitter. But God will make you bitter. You say, but I see people who say they believe in healing, but then they still die. And I just don't think it's fun to be saved. I don't see anybody who's living a reality of redemption. They're only living a religious life. I beg you to differ. I dare you to just stand out and just pray and ask God, show me something different. Why should I be of you? Why should I come and give my life to you? And let him reveal to you. And I promise you, he won't let you down. And he'll put somebody in your life to give you the word, to teach you the true word, to give your heading over you, to cover you. Somebody that's going to pray for you day in and day night. Someone who's never going to get tired. Someone, even when you get tired of praying, they're still praying for you. They're still calling out your name. And that's what here at Tri-Anointed Ministries that we want to do for you. We want to be that intercessor for you. We want to pray with you and find a church home in your city, your state, in your country, and all of the ones in Africa that's there with Apostle Eva McHenry. God bless you. We hear your cries, and we hear the news that you're saying, and we just thank you for your listening. We thank you so much for listening to the broadcast. Wherever you're at, we want to be there. We want to send you out Bibles. We want to reach out and help you. God has an outstanding future for you. And if tonight is your time that you want to accept Jesus Christ, I ask you to just repeat after me these words. God, I believe that you are the creator of my life and all that is here. I believe that you gave your son, that he came to give his life for my sins, to reunite me back with you again. And I just want to say thank you. I confess that I am a sinner.
And I ask you to come and take control of my life. And I ask you to invite, I invite you to live inside of me from this day forward. Cleanse me of all my dirty sins and make me whole again and show me how to walk this walk. Show me what you want me to do on this journey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love. We thank you for your power. Again, this is Evangelist Von Dumas from Tri-Anointed Ministries. You can reach us at welcomewithmegod@aol.com. You can also leave a message here to Blog Talk Radio. We ask some blessings over again, my brother Reggie, as he continues to heal from surgery from prostate cancer, total healness, spiritually and physically, and of my brother DeConcelin as he recovers from his hip surgery in Atlanta. Total healness physically and mentally. Blessings over my mom, Miss Annie Pearl Harwell, my brothers T, my sisters D and Barbara.